This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. God's people are supposed to be holy, but I don't know about you, but do you sometimes kind of bristle at that word? We're not sure we really want to be holy or whether that's something that we want to be known for. And even if we do, could we get there? This is episode 36 of season one. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. So glad you've joined us this week. Our topic is getting a handle on holiness. It's a part of our current podcast theme, which is missed calls. We're looking at those places in the New Testament where God has called us to be certain things. And one of those things we're going to see today is He's called us to be holy. And of all these calls, we don't want to miss these calls. We don't want to put them on hold. We don't want to get distracted and miss out on it. We don't want to send it to voicemail. Instead, we want God's call upon our lives to be something that we embrace and experience and enjoy. So our theme right now is missed calls, and which is kind of ironic because I guess almost everybody has a phone in their pocket, in their hands with them at all times. If you didn't want to miss a call, you wouldn't have to, and yet so many times we miss calls more than ever in real life on our phones. I shared a meme on Sunday that I saw that said, "I'm sorry I didn't answer my phone when you called. I don't use it for that." And that's so true. We don't, of all the things our phone can do for us, which is amazing, one of the things we least use it for is to actually talk to people on the phone. If they call, we send it to voicemail. I actually called someone today that wasn't expecting a call from me, and I got their number from someone else. And as I was calling them, I said to the people near me, I said, "They're not going to pick up. They don't have my name in their phone." To my surprise, they actually answered, and it was an important call. And so there are these important calls spiritually in our lives that God places upon us. He makes to us. They're recorded for us in the New Testament, and we don't want to miss those calls. Today, I want to talk about God's call upon our lives to be holy. And I said earlier, we sometimes bristle at that word. It's got weird connotations. We maybe picture being a prim and proper prude, a holier-than-thou individual, someone who looks down on others or walks around sort of with this stern and reserved look on their face. I have a confession. If I'm candid, I would have to say that in social situations, especially new social situations outside of church, I kind of like it when people don't know I'm a pastor. It's because maybe that's wrong, but it's because people have weird ideas about what a pastor is like. Can I vent just a moment about this? Just look at the movies. Look at the movies through my lens. Any movie that has a pastor or a clergy figure in it, they're always weird. They're always really, really strange individuals. Like Princess Bride, for example, the guy that marries them, he's so strange. Marriage is what brings us together. Why is that our image of a pastor? And every movie I see, the pastor or the reverend or the clergy figure, totally weird. All right, I feel better just getting that off my chest. And it's just true in general for holiness. Sometimes we have this idea that if we're going to really come across as holy, it's kind of weird. It's strange, and we're not sure that we want to be associated with that. And even if we do, even if we have a healthy view of holiness from the Bible, we often feel like we sort of have, imposter syndrome. We know that even if others see us that way, that we ourselves are not, we're very aware of our own flaws and weaknesses and shortcomings. And so when we understand that that's what God calls us to be, we feel like, how could we ever measure up? And yet, that is definitely our call as believers. Our call is to be holy. The passage I covered on Sunday talked about this. It talks about in Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, Paul says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called, there's our word called. This is a call that we don't want to miss. It says, and called to be his holy people. So we're definitely called to be holy. The word in the original language, which was Greek, is just hagios. His holy people is just captures one word in the Greek, hagios, and it's often over the centuries been translated as saint, hagios, saint, his holy people. And so there's something about that we need to understand, because it really is truly something that God has called us to be. Now, I said in my message that if we understand it, if we understand what hagias, what saints, what his holy people means, it will demystify the overwhelming pressure we sometimes feel to be good enough. I went on to say, and more than that, at the same time, it will actually empower us to live the life that God wants us to live and intends for us. So let me unpack that a little bit, because I didn't do that in the message, but first of all, if we understand what holiness really is in the Bible, not God's holiness, but our holiness, if we understand that, it will demystify this pressure we feel to be good enough, because otherwise it's very confusing. How can God be holy and we're holy at the same time? It's very confusing, and also it feels impossible. It feels like this is an impossible standard that we could never meet, never match up to. And I want to demystify that by understanding what the Bible teaches about personal holiness. It also, if we understand it, it will empower our ability to live the life that God intends. What I mean by that is it will, first of all, make it practical. We'll be able to look at it and understand how to put it into practice. And also, it will be attainable. We realize that this is not something that's just for the select few that can meet the standard. It's something that's not only expected of every believer, but it's also attainable by every believer. And so, and in doing so, today I want to give you five aspects of personal holiness, of what it means for you and me to be holy. These five aspects will then go a long way in demystifying it, as well as empowering us to live the life that God wants us to. First of all, the first aspect is this. We need to see that the call to holiness is rooted in God's character, in who he is. I said earlier that we're talking about our holiness and not God's holiness, but at the beginning, we need to see that the two things are linked, that we are called to be holy because we follow God and God is holy. In one of the earliest references to this in the Bible, we see it in Leviticus 11:44. God says this, he says, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourself to be holy because I am holy. And the call to be holy then is linked to the fact, so many times in Scripture, because God is holy, so we are supposed to be holy. 1 Peter says the same thing. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And that's a direct reference to the verse in Leviticus that I just mentioned. So we need to see that our holiness is linked to God's holiness. The reason that we're called to be holy is because we call ourselves a part of God's family, a family that draws its holiness from him. Now, when this was first mentioned in Leviticus, it was in the context of all kinds of dietary restrictions and codes and ceremonies that they were supposed to practice, many of which believers don't practice anymore. And yet, what they did is they set apart God's people in the Old Testament from the cultures around them. But it was always more than that. It wasn't that the diet, the meal plan, the ceremonies, the holidays that they observed, many of which, as I said, we don't do anymore. It wasn't just that those were acts of holiness. It was that God's people were meant to be seen distinct from the cultures around them. Someone says, yeah, well, but weren't those dietary restrictions a healthy thing for them? Yes, in many cases, it was a healthy practice for the people of God back then, but that's not why God gave that. If we say that, it confuses it from really the deeper meaning. The reason God gave it is that he wanted his people to be distinct from the cultures around them. Many of those, as I said, many of those practices have gone away in the New Testament. But what hasn't changed is that God's people are meant to be a set-apart people that reflect his holiness, that reflect his character, that reflect him. So again, the first principle, the call to holiness, is rooted in God's character. That's important. But even as I say that, I realize that that only adds to the pressure. That only makes it feel like more unattainable, because if it's linked to God's character, how could I ever be even close to him, close to that? Well, let me say the next thing. The next thing is this, is that becoming holy is a lifelong process. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that instantly we just add water, you know, get baptized, let's say, as we did this last Sunday, and suddenly, you know, we're instantly holy. It's something that takes a lifetime. It's a lifelong process. Yes, we are seen as perfect and holy in God's sight the moment of salvation, but for that to play itself in the actual way we live, that's a lifelong process, and we never really truly get there until we get to heaven. We will grow, but we never attain it in this life. And so we have verses like Philippians 1:6 that talk about how God has begun a good work in us, and he will continue to do it until the day of Christ Jesus. He will continue to be at work in our lives, sanctifying it. So we don't have to feel like we have to be perfect right away. It's this process that happens over time. The third thing that I want you to see is this, that holiness grows out of our gratitude for salvation. It's because we are not holy. It's because we're not perfect, because we still have a long way to go, because we needed to be saved, that we embark upon the journey to holiness. Again, I want to go back to that kind of obscure passage in the Old Testament, Leviticus 11:44. It's so helpful because it says this. It says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself and be holy because I am holy. We've talked about that. Our holiness draws out of him. But then it goes on to say, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. And there we see that our holiness grows out of the fact that God saved us. He rescued us. He didn't choose us because we were holy. He chose us because we needed his holiness. We did not have that. We did not live up to his standards. We did not live up to what he required. And so he rescued us. In the rescue from Egypt that's mentioned there in that verse is talking about how God drew his people who were in slavery out of Egypt and gave them a promised land. That's an Old Testament picture of what God ultimately did on the cross, where he redeemed us, his people, out of the slavery of sin. That is, we were not holy, and he imparted to us his holiness. And it grows out of this gratitude for salvation, the sense in which God has rescued us, and so why wouldn't we embark upon this lifelong process of allowing his character and his heart to be become part of who we are and how we behave as well. The next aspect is this. Holiness is the Spirit's work in us, transforming us into the image of Christ. It's not something we can do on our own. It's something that's imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. Again, when I talked about this on Sunday, I talked about the fact that God's Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just say that really quick and don't really think about the words, but it begins with the word holy, the Holy Spirit. In Romans, the passage I talked about on Sunday, Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of holiness. And by putting it that way, I think it underlines the word holiness. It helps us maybe see, let that stand apart for us a little bit and realize that the reason that the Spirit is able to transform us and make us holy people is because He is the Holy Spirit. And He comes in, He lives inside, resides inside of us, and He transforms us from the inside out. We, in our own strength, even as redeemed people, don't have the power to live up to God's holy standards. But the good news is that with the Spirit we can. And so the Holy Spirit is the source of the transformation. He's the power that we need to have this journey where we become more and more like Him. The Holy Spirit is working in us to make us more and more like God. And at those times when we feel like we utterly fail, that we've just really do not reflect the holy character of God, it's a reminder to us that, first of all, that's why we needed to be rescued by God. We needed to be redeemed, and we should be grateful for it. Secondly, it's a reminder that we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. On our own, in our own energy, our own strength, we will eventually not measure up. We're not going to make it. That's not going to cut it. But with the Holy Spirit, each day He enables us to live as He intends. And at first, as a young believer, this seems like we miss more than we make it. It feels like there's so little success. But with time, it develops more and more in our lives, and that reliance on the Spirit and the impact that He has in our life shows up more and more and more. Finally, I want to say this, that the fifth aspect is that holiness is both personal as well as communal. You know, I said earlier that I've kind of been using the term a lot of personal holiness, but it's also corporate holiness. It's a communal holiness. It's a holiness that grows together in community. And so one of the ways I phrased this on Sunday morning in our time together was that the community that we're in is both ancient, global, and local. It's ancient in the sense that we are part of this long history of God's people from the Old Testament time, New Testament time, over church history, in many cases, our parents, our grandparents, our relatives that were believers that handed it on to us. Maybe when you were quite young, you learned in Sunday school and you had a Sunday school teacher or a leader that was instrumental in your life, and they've handed it down to you, and you are part of this ongoing train of history of these individuals that are part of this ancient community. But then we're also part of a global community. That is, we're part of believers all around the world that are worshiping Jesus in the same way we are, sometimes in different ways than we do, but certainly the same Jesus around the world in their culture and their expression. And then finally, I said we're part of a local body, and that's the local church that you belong to. If you're part of our church, it's Green Valley Church. If it's a part of whatever church you identify with and you worship at, that becomes this important part of holiness in your life, because we kind of learn from each other. We grow around each other. We're sharpened and shaped and molded by one another. And it happens together. And that's why it's so important these days to not simply, you know, worship at a distance or independently, but to find a community, a flawed community, but a community nonetheless, where you can come together and together you can sharpen each other and challenge each other to be all that God wants you to be. It will be a flawed community because, well, first of all, you joined it. But also it's a flawed community because that's all God has to work with. We're all people in this lifelong process of being transformed by His Holy Spirit to be people that reflect Him. People who have been redeemed and appreciate with deep gratitude what God has done for us, but who now are being transformed and changed. And again, it won't happen completely in this lifetime. It just happens. But if you live long enough, it will happen nonetheless, little by little, as He transforms us day by day. Well, I hope that's a helpful way for you to think about personal holiness. I hope that it demystifies it for you a little bit. I hope it feels a little bit more attainable to realize that this is not some awkward, weird phrase that we want to distance ourselves from, but rather something that we should embrace because we are called to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. If you want to catch the complimentary messages that I'm building these talks upon, you can always look at our sister podcast, the Green Valley Church podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can catch that, and you can see the message that goes along with this one. Again, thanks for listening to this, for being a part of this unhurried community that's listening to this. I love the fact that I hear from you pretty much every week that you're following along, and that means so much to me. If you are following along from outside of San Diego County, especially, I'd love to hear from you. You can always ask questions, comments, or just give me a shout out, or just say hello. Tell me where you're listening from. And you can send me an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.